it work?
Yeah, I think it did. We can only find out
later. That was
some
pretty good work on your part. You really flew on that one.
Well, I made your level, or I made all the little dials pretty much almost to where they are on your other channel. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to throw that on you last minute.
So this is the Channel Hopping Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And, of course, we've got special guests Chris and Bonnie in the studio today.
Bonnie brought pizza. Again.
Admission to the... No, actually, she can come here any time she wants.
She can?
Yes.
Well, she has pizza, yeah. Absolutely.
Is that what I meant? Anyway, Ghostly Talk is broadcast live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mm.
Remember that. And we're broadcast out of the haunted... what are we? Oh, the Haunted Basement Studios in gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous, sun-drenched Fraser, Michigan.
It is pretty nice out today, actually. We'll do the Ghostly Talk weather report right now. right now, out the window,
2%.
It feels pretty good coming through the window, and the sun's out. Let's move on.
Excellent.
No, it's actually been, the weather's been great all weekend.
You
guys have been gone.
Ideal.
You
we
guys
were
out
gone.
Of town. What
we
happened? Where were you guys at?
We went to no, we didn't. We went to Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Yeah. We went to, I don't remember. We went to Cincinnati for the Victory.
Victory of Light.
Yes, Victory of Light Festival.
Okay, and how... What happened? Bonnie's back.
Bonnie is
the peanut gallery is in full effect tonight.
We were drinking before the show.
We weren't drinking before the show.
No, we were not drinking alcohol anyway before the show, but
I know,
maybe
I know,
after
I'm,
this
I'm,
show.
I'm
on
no sleep right now, but that's
no,
that's fun.
It's all me. I'm messing up today.
You know what happens?
Apologize.
We were sitting out there on that patio. That sun was blasting into my eyes, and it got me stoned. Whenever I have to sit in the sun like that with no sunglasses... It totally puts me out.
So at the Victory of Light Festival, we basically drove 200 miles, got an aura photo done, and came back. How's that?
Okay, now we only have about another hour and 55 minutes to go, Doug. That's what we got to talk about.
That's what we did.
Well, no.
Well,
you guys did a few things down there. We were on the phone, like, you know, it was like,
Doug,
back to base, like every 15 minutes. So, okay, we did this now. All right, I got to go. Bye. You know?
We're in line for something else, so I'll catch you later. Yeah, it was. We talked pretty much all weekend, which is unusual, you know.
You have to be 200 miles away for us to... actively stay on the phone and communicate. But when you're at
my
home,
cell phone knows how to dial you, I guess.
Because you actually called me.
I called you, yeah.
Like, I looked at the phone, and I have like all of 18 of your phone numbers on my phone now. And the thing came up on the caller ID. It said, Doug Semig, work. And I'm like, that's his cell phone for work. What's he doing? So, of course, I picked it up, and it was you. Why are you calling me? Did I do something bad? Did I hurt your feelings? Did I offend you?
It's just
a busy weekend
with me, and I did need to communicate with you.
This has been a trying week.
This has been quite well. Whew. The week was insane, but the weekend it was a long but absolutely wonderful weekend because I got to spend it with Bonnie and our friends Kelly and Wayne, McLeod of EnchantedSoul.com.
Hello, guys.
And Wayne,
she was just here 2 weeks ago.
Yep, and she was down there for Victory of Light.
I understood she did a little talk too.
It was standing room only.
Really?
It was standing room only. There were so many people, and at one point I was on the verge of tears.
Why?
This message came through for this lady.
I'm turning it off.
I'm playing PlayStation.
and this message came through for this lady, and it was like, you know, everything was right on. She was like, okay, do you understand this? Yes. Do you understand this? Yes. Do you understand this? Yes. Everything was like right, absolutely on. And then the message from her passed over loved one came, and it was, you know, I don't remember, but it was something, you know, really nice from her brother. Mm-hmm. And then before saying, you know, thank you, you know, going to the next person, the next spirit, Kelly says, wait a minute, were you almost in a near fatal car crash or something?
Mm-hmm.
The lady said, yes, I fell asleep at the wheel and almost hit the curb, but it, you know, but...
You mentioned this. She did fall asleep at the wheel.
Asleep at the wheel. Yeah. And evidently the brother was there to help veer her away and wake her up because without any intervention, the lady believed, I believe she said that she believed she would actually have crashed. And I'm telling you.
So what was the part you started crying at?
That was it. Because then all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, this really is a message from beyond. I mean, if you didn't, like, believe it up until that point, then it's like, okay, well, you know, here you go. What do you want more? You know, a bronzed ghost? I mean, it was just absolutely insanely accurate and right there. I mean, it was just amazing.
That would have been pretty amazing to see, actually.
And the entire rest of the session was really cool. And then we stayed for the next presentation. And yeah,
that didn't sound too good.
No, it was a presentation. And then we went to out to eat.
You went out to eat.
Yeah.
Where'd you go to eat at?
I want to talk about the presentation.
All right, let's talk about it.
There's this famous lady. A famous radio personality lady from the Cincinnati area, evidently, who gave a talk about ghosts and hauntings. And I thought, oh, this is like right up my bag, you know, I love this. It's awesome. And it was a chore. It was a chore to listen to it. And I
what happened?
I don't know. That hour seemed like it was four. It was long. It was.
What did she cover? Is there anything in particular she covered, or do you remember?
I slept most of it, but I don't know. She tried to do this presentation.
Yeah.
And it was okay, I guess, if you were in grade school. I don't know. I just felt bad for her. Mm-hmm. I felt very bad for her because I think it could have been punched up a bit. Mm-hmm. The presentation needed maybe a little bit of practice or something. Of course, so does Ghostly Talk, but yeah, I mean, hey, you know. But
we admit that every single week.
Yeah, we're like,
hey, you know, we're just reminding you that we suck still. Okay,
yeah,
so
just so you know, we're doing this too. But but I felt bad for her because she knows a lot. She goes out ghost hunting, evidently, and not to cemeteries though. She's got strong opinions about cemeteries, and but it, I don't know, it just needed some punch, I think. Mm. It seemed well received, but maybe it was because I already knew about ghosts and orbs and haunted houses.
And you've been giving presentations on it for the last 3 years every week.
That could be. I don't know.
Maybe that is where the critiquing came from. But yeah, I mean, we've all been to a few where we're like, okay, I'm trying to stay awake.
Right, and that's kind of what it was, and I felt bad. Maybe I was fatigued. I don't know.
You were pretty cranky when you got back today.
Yeah.
I got to say, I came down here, and I'm like, well, it's happening again. We have to leave now. And actually, I broke the top off that conductor spray thing just so I could leave, go back there.
I've got to hide this.
I threw it in there. I'm like, oh, God, it's crazy. I have to leave.
But I had a great weekend, and we met somebody from Detroit there, from Pontiac, actually.
Oh, wow.
So that was pretty cool. And, you know, he was our waiter at Bob's
He worked down there? Well, he was
Mario's. Mario's.
Was he born there or something?
I don't know. He just moved from Pontiac down there, and we ran into him at Mario's.
That's cool.
The place where you go eat.
You guys saw a movie down there, too, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. We went and saw a movie.
So did I up here at home.
Well, I think that was one of our lengthy phone calls.
Yeah, that was one of those. We, obviously, I'm sure the campfire has been, you know, kindling very nice for the last week on the website with what was going on, obviously. And we were supposed to have George Lutz on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to come on. Obviously, the Amityville Horror, the new version, whatever you want to call it, Part 2 or whatever.
Well, it's the remake.
The remake, okay. Yeah. I don't know what
I think you would have to call it.
Actually, all it said on the screen was the Amityville Horror.
Right. It's supposed to be the remake of that movie. So it's supposed to be the same title, the same characters, almost the same story.
So why was it different?
Because it was made in 2004 and 5 instead of, 1970 or something?
Well, the first thing I got to throw this out.
81, whenever it was made.
I really want to get some email on this. Did anybody think the same thing that I thought when Ryan Reynolds came on, who plays George Lutz? Did anybody think he was Jason Lee?
I did not.
Myself and my friend Colleen thought it was Jason Lee from, like, you know Jason Lee, Mallrats, Dogma.
Well, yeah, but no, I remembered Ryan Reynolds from Two Girls, a Guy, and a Pizza Place, which then was later renamed to Two Guys, a Girl.
Thanks. Two guys, a girl, a rhinoceros, and a pizza place.
Two guys, a girl, and a pizza place.
That was
three
the first
two
thing
guys,
I said,
girl.
Though. He came out, and I'm like, is that Jason Lee? Because I love Jason Lee. I love this man. If I found out he was in this film, I'm not going to be too happy with the guy. And then we sat through the credits.
Right.
I never sit through the credits of any film, whether I own it or I'm going to a theater to see it. And we actually sat because I was on a mission to find out who this guy was. And it said Ryan Reynolds. I'm like, he looks... I don't know. Nobody down here agrees with me who has seen the film. Bonnie, what do you think?
I knew who he was.
God,
I'm
gonna do a Photoshop job tonight and just like look at both their faces.
Are these the same person?
Yeah, I want to know what the conspiracy is behind this crap because that guy looks just like Jason Lee.
All right,
well, he even has the same kind of voice too. He's got the same voice.
Put it up. Let's see it.
There.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get. Well, I never saw two guys, a girl, a bowling ball, and a chef's market or whatever the hell it is. I never saw that.
I only saw a couple of them. You know, they were all right.
Yeah.
But
the film we were supposed to have George on this weekend, obviously.
Right.
There's been.
But we found out on Friday.
Yeah, we found out on Friday he wasn't gonna be able to come here tonight.
Right. And when I called you after I had seen the movie,
yeah.
I called you and I said, I know what George is doing. I know why he's not
yeah.
going to be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of two reasons. Either he is on an all-weekend drinking binge, or he is, in conference with his team of lawyers, because it made him look like a jerk.
Well, the character really is it's a strong character. I don't mean strong as in powerful, but I mean it's a very... His actions, his motives... They're strong.
They really do. You know, do you remember what I said about white noise?
Yeah.
You have to really. One of the things that I said was that why did I hate the bad guy? I only saw the bad guy once in an elevator.
Yeah, you had no.
I had no clue he was the bad guy,
mm-hmm.
even until the very, very end, and then suddenly he's the bad guy, and so we had to hate him all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I didn't hate the bad guy. In here, the bad guy, the. What is it? Protagonist?
Yeah,
of this movie is, unfortunately for George Lutz.
Mm-hmm.
And they really did a good job of making us hate the bad guy.
Well, the film itself, I mean, this is just going to be like our little Siskel and Ebert thing on this.
All right.
It's a good film.
Let's talk about
it.
It's
a good film. I had fun watching it.
Very well done.
I don't go to the theater very much anymore.
The acting is phenomenal. The kids' acting.
The kids were great.
Everybody knows that, and I've told this over and over and over, the acting in the others, except for Nicole Kidman and Fiona, why can't I think of Fiona's last name? Anyway, except for them, the acting just sucked. I mean, it was just absolutely hideously bad. They
mm-hmm.
really needed to recast the others,
uh-huh.
and other than Nicole Kidman and Fiona, but the kids in the others, there's a reason they don't have a career now. You know, and it's because of that movie. And they were just so bad in it. Maybe they're in school. I don't know. Maybe they went to acting school. They needed it. But here, this movie, okay.
Yeah.
It
was great.
The kids were phenomenal.
They did a great job. The film, as far as the science goes, the art
the
goes.
The adults
film,
were phenomenal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as far as the science of making the film mm-hmm. and the creativity of making the film, it was very well done.
Now, there was one line that stuck out, though. And this
yeah.
isn't going to spoil it or anything for anybody, but there was the one scene.
I think everybody knows what happens in the end.
Well, yeah, okay.
20th day, they leave the house.
28, yep.
There you go.
Okay. There's the one line.
Sorry, I spoiled the whole movie now. All right. And this has been Ghostly Talk.
Thank you. There's a line, there's a scene where they're sitting at the dinner table.
Oh, yeah.
And he's making the boy, you know, he's getting meaner and meaner with the young teenage boy as the days progress. Like, that's one thing that kind of followed a little bit. And he's making the boy carry wood all night and day long, right? And this is a good line. I thought this was a pretty funny line. The lady's like, so what is this, punishment or torture? And he's got a mouthful of food. He's like, I thought it was meatloaf. Nobody laughs at the table but the theater. We're like, that was a good little line he threw out there. Now, that's like the only comic relief in that whole film, I think.
I think that was it.
That's
yeah.
the only joke they told, I think. Boy, you really lost out on that piece of paper.
I grabbed it.
Jeez, okay, yeah. You retreat. It's bare. That's thanks to Will because he mauls it. Like, he puts his claws in there.
I did that.
But that's
but yeah, the. don't know. The movie was fantastic.
It was done well.
If it was not titled The Amityville Horror, it
would have been a fun film.
And if it did not say based on a true story, it would have been an awesome movie.
They did, and they did put that out there, based on a true story. And like you said, you can't stress enough, it was done well. The money was put where it needed to be put. Mm-hmm. The acting was good. The special effects, you think they went a little overboard. I think they were tasteful about it.
I think they figured out how to do that, like, face formation
that
thing.
That was cool. I like
where
that.
You go, wah, 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 you're evil dude, then you're normal person, then you're evil dude, then you're normal person, then you're evil dude, then you're normal person. Okay. I think they really, they took that a bit, they did a little bit too much of that. They didn't need.
I
want
to learn how to do that myself. I think that'd be pretty cool. Walk up to the gas station.
Hey, there's a lot of examples in that movie.
Yeah,
but I'm telling you that the problem with the problem. I mean, that even that is not make this a bad movie. The movie as a movie goes, it's a phenomenal movie.
Yeah, there's a big difference there.
If you look at White Noise, which was a movie that just sucked all the way around. I mean, it sucked from the moment we walked in until the moment. You know, you walk out, or the others, which did not suck the entire time. It sucked until the last 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The last 5 minutes were phenomenal. This movie was phenomenal from, except for based on a true story and the Amityville Horror title.
Yeah,
was phenomenal. It was a very well done movie. The issue is that's not. First of all, it was not the Amityville Horror, the movie that I remember.
Yeah.
It was nothing like...
Well, even if you're just going to go on the Amityville Horror movie. If you're just going to go on the Amityville Horror movie, the original film.
Oh, they changed everything.
They changed everything. And the original is not...
Can we do spoilers? Ask in the chat room, can we do spoilers? Can we tell you what things are wrong? I mean, and let me know.
There's a lot of differences, man. There's a lot of differences.
Yeah, if the room says, sure, go ahead and do spoilers, I'll do spoilers.
Well, the crux of the issue really is here is we've had George Lutz on twice now.
Mm-hmm.
We were gonna have him on a third time. Obviously,
I hope so.
You know, we're gonna have him on down the road. Hopefully, when things kind of the wind kind of blows away here, it's kind of a rough time for him, and we understand that.
He's either on a conclave with his lawyers, like the
he's been on
the Cardinals in the Vatican,
mm-hmm.
or. He's on a drinking binge. It's one of the two.
Yeah.
I know if I were him, I'd be on a drinking binge, and I do not drink.
Mm.
But I would be like, they would be mopping up floors with me. I would be like just all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
If I saw that movie and I was George Lutz, my God.
That's the issue right there, though, too.
It should have been called The Amityville Shining.
Very creative.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, spoilers rock. Go ahead.
Spoilers rock. I can just hear MGM actually go, hey, we got a phone call. Hey. This is MGM. Stop talking now. Quit your talking now or we are going to bomb the house. Okay, guys, we got to go.
Now, the crux of the issue is here, though, is just that
and it's another vain attempt. And I'm going to slam them. I don't care. It's another vain attempt at Hollywood, looking to cash in.
They did a great job on this one.
They did a good job on the film.
Wish they would have got their ducks in a row.
I don't want people to get the wrong idea. Like, Duncan Scott, Siskel and Ebert of the paranormal world, said that the movie was awesome and they loved it and it was great. So, you know, no, it was a well-done film. As far as art goes, as far as camera angles goes, as far as acting goes, it was a well-done film.
Key gripping was phenomenal.
The key grips were my favorite in the film.
they should get an Oscar.
I stood there with Colleen going, would you look at that goddamn key grip? He's awesome! I kept saying it over and over again, right? We're all we're saying is the art was done right. The art was there.
The art
cool.
and science of the film was done right. But
if it was called Scott L. Kills His Family, I really would have loved the film.
Right. But
no, I wouldn't. That would have been me.
Well, yeah, that would have been bad.
If it was called Doug Kills His Family, I would have loved the film.
I don't think my family would have liked it.
I don't think they would have either.
But the problem is it was called The Amityville Horror.
Yeah.
And the lead character was George Lutz.
Yeah.
That was the problem.
That's the problem.
MGM and their, you know, many, many, many sub-companies did not get their ducks in a row. That's the whole issue. They did not call up George, and they didn't, well, they called him, but they didn't arrange with him. They didn't do their legal stuff to get this done right.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff in the movie that is completely different than the first movie. And now I'm going to have to go and actually read the book again,
because
I don't know if they were more. They said one of the things is they wanted to go more in line with the book.
Okay.
They wanted it to be just like the book.
That's impossible to do. The movie would be like 12 hours long.
Well, of course, but it would be 28 days long. But but the problem is, I mean, there are certain things that I do not remember from the book, mm-hmm. you know, that I don't remember the differences from the book in the first movie in order to apply that to here. I'm going to have to go back and read the book. I know the differences between Amityville Remake and Amityville the first
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely. As okay. far as the film's going, I know that's what we're talking about, is this that. We went and saw this movie. I know myself, I went to see this movie for research purposes this weekend. I wanted to walk in here today so we could talk about this.
Mm-hmm. I would have never, if I hadn't talked to George Lutz, I wouldn't have seen it. I would not have gone. I don't go to movies.
Yeah.
I go, and if I feel like it, I'll rent one.
Yeah.
But I rarely see movies. I went to this one just to, you know, just because I had talked to George Lutz, and I knew that it was controversial.
There was an interest. There was an interest in this, and I was curious to see what the big problem was.
And you know what? It's number one.
It's who mentioned that before the show?
I heard it on the radio while driving home from Bonnie's. It was $25 million this weekend.
Well, congratulations, MGM.
Yeah, you've done good job. Good job. If only you had, you know, done
it correctly.
Yeah.
As far as writing a story goes, I mean, I don't know what the hardest part about making a film is, but it's based on the story, and we are always on this show. We try to be as fair as we can about a lot of things. But we're basing our judgment on this according to what we've talked to George Lutz about. We talked to the man directly, and we're basing that on what he told us.
Right.
And this film, you know, I'm not going to sit here and, like, start picketing in front of MGM's building over this. We're going to talk about this because that's what we do on this show. What George told us and what I saw Ryan Reynolds do mm-hmm. as George Lutz, which he did a great job. Ryan Reynolds did a great job playing a character, not George Lutz.
If
playing
it was
a character,
fiction, it would have
playing
been
a psychotic guy who like, I mean, it was really they did a fine job on showing you the gradual progression from him going from normal guy, nice guy who takes in who marries a woman with three kids. Whew, I saw that. I'm like, wait, these don't belong to him. Wow, nice guy.
He's taking on a whole family.
That's not how I operate. Nice guy takes in a whole family like that, marries this woman, loves this woman, wants to make her happy. So. What time is it today, Mark? 7:24.
There you go.
Thank you. All right.
7:24.
Hardworking man, owns his own company, a normal, great guy. And you see, I think they did a really good job on the progression of him going from normal, great guy to raving madman who wants to put an axe in his wife's chest. And they dramatized that in the film. I was told that by someone. I'm like, dude, he put an axe in his wife's chest. And I'm like, oh. I never heard about that happening. That was just kind of how there was this flashback or whatever. I don't know how they did
but
it did actually happen.
All I can say is no wonder MGM didn't talk to George or evidently read the book. Because...
Well, the bottom line here is we know this. We've been through this personally, Doug. We've been through this personally with a friend of ours.
Yeah.
We sat down with this gentleman and said, I'm trying to write a script for a movie. Really? Cool. Let's talk. So you guys are ghost hunters. What happens? Well, we go out to a field or a building with a whole bunch of Diet Pepsi. Did it again. With a whole bunch of pop. Or soda. Sorry. Soda. No, people are in New York.
Soda. Coke.
We smoke a whole bunch of cigarettes and we sit around and we run our equipment. Right? We talk about this every week. Unfortunately. That's not Hollywood.
Right.
I've never been possessed before. Doug, have you been possessed?
Not yet, no.
I've been possessed by alcohol.
Oh, I have too. Sorry
but I've never
that,
been
yeah.
possessed by what I know to be a demon.
Right.
Or another spirit or something
right.
like that. I'm sorry. That's the honest truth here. We could actually... you know how easy it would be for us to come on here, and I know there's people out there that does this. It would be very easy for us to come on here every week and go, dude, we went out ghost hunting this weekend... And Doug, you would have never believed it. This thing picked Doug up and crucified him into the wall. And we're sitting there like, Doug, dude, are you all right? And he's like, dude, there's nails through my hands right now in the wall. And we had to say a chant from the Necronomicon to get the demon to go away to get him off the wall. Now, that would be really exciting, wouldn't it, Doug?
Right.
I mean, it would suck for you. But, I mean, it'd be really exciting. For people to hear that. And we could play the music behind that and be like, oh, you know, no, behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Really get the drama going, right? We could do that.
We could really put the time into this show and do that, but it's not real. It's not what we do on the show. It's never what we've done.
Best part of that entire tirade,
sorry,
or whatever,
that's the point, though.
Was that, you know, there are people who do that, and yes, there are.
There are people who do that. We don't do that here.
No.
And that's why we're talking about this, because we want to make sure people know the difference between fantasy and reality.
Mm-hmm.
We had George Lutz on the show. We consider that a very, very strong piece of reality. We saw the film this weekend. We consider that
a very, very strong piece of fantasy.
And
exactly.
there's some people, and this doesn't mean they're dumb. This doesn't mean they have problems with their head. They just sometimes can't differentiate between these two things. Enjoy the film. If you want to go see it, go see it. That'd be great. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. You cannot go see the film if you want to listen to the closely.
Well,
you can't do that. No. Do what you want.
I told people that White Noise was not even worth their time downloading hijacked versions on the internet. Okay?
Wow.
It's not worth it. It is, and it isn't. It really isn't.
It wasn't a very good film.
It was a horrible.
It's hard on us because we hear about.
There's
these
one believable character in the whole film, and he's the goofball, right?
Yeah.
But this one.
Well,
it's really difficult for me because it's a good film. It's just that
it's a good film. Yeah.
It's completely fictitious.
The one gentleman
based on a true story, and that's what.
Yeah. The one gentleman from White Noise, it cracks me up. Have you ever said this before, Doug?
Hmm.
Because you said there's only like one character in the movie that really was real.
Have we ever
met up with somebody like, you know, we're going to be ghost hunting tonight. And then they meet up with us at a cemetery and we go, you're coming just in time. We've had a breakthrough. Right? Have you ever said that in your life? Have we ever had a breakthrough?
Okay, no. The entire show was... Why are we getting a phone call?
Because we're going to get yelled at by somebody, probably.
Unknown out of area. Should we answer?
Answer it. It's probably like MGM. Ghostly Talk, how can I help you?
Do it again.
Ghostly Talk, how can I help you? You've reached Ghostly Talk. You've reached Ghostly Talk. If you'd like to speak to the guest, press 1. Is there anybody there?
I don't think so.
Somebody prank called us.
Somebody pranked Ghostly Talk.
I thought I heard something. Well, that's cool. Anyways. The bottom line of this thing is, you know, go out and see the film. Go out and see the film. If you want to see the film, it's totally cool. We're not telling people not to go see the film.
It's probably George Lutz. He's like in a bar.
What are you talking about?
I love you guys.
I'm not an evil axe-wielding murderer. No, I'm not.
No, it's not.
I mean, I swear, he's either out drinking like crazy or in a conclave with his lawyers. Because that movie was...
It was
so unfair to him.
Very unfair.
It was unfair to the entire family.
I feel
bad for the family. That
it's our job
blatantly
here.
Blatantly got used for $25 million in receipts.
It's our job here to make sure people know the difference, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of our jobs we've taken.
This is one of the most difficult things to do, too, because you know, it's a good movie, but bad... premise because
premise.
They should not have done what they did.
Mm-hmm. What's going on? We'll go to break. They can wait. Yeah. We'll do what we want to do. Damn it!
No, we're
leave us
go
alone.
I'm in charge here.
Oh, who's in charge? What?
Oh, here we go.
I have the board. I have the computer. I'm in charge.
Okay, well,
he's
guys,
also
James,
got an axe.
James Brown says that we need to go to break.
He's also got an axe and
you have an axe and red eyes.
Yeah, red eyes and
a beard.
They did. I wonder what they did. Did they like put salt in his eyes or something to make him that red?
Okay, don't move.
That was amazing.
Don't move. You didn't pay $1 million for this movie. Shut up and don't move.
Ow!
We'll take a break. We'll take a break. We're gonna have actually coming on here. We didn't even get to talk about this, Doug. We do have a couple people coming on the show tonight. We're gonna talk to you.
Yes,
first person is our buddy Tim Yancey from timyancey.com. He is also used to be the ex-host of Encounters.
Oh yeah,
which is a show we were really big on back in the day. He don't do it no more. No,
nope.
But Tim has been a friend. He's been a friend of the show for God since almost day one.
Yeah, yeah.
He actually works with George. As a matter of fact, he's responsible for getting George in contact with us, or
getting
us in contact with George.
Vice versa, yeah.
And, you know, we had these
so we're going to have Tim on the show?
We're going to have Tim on.
Lone Feathers of Encounters.
Mm-hmm. And we have another guest that's going to be coming on to us. We're going to keep that one on the lot. Let's keep it on the wrap.
Okay,
Let's keep it on the wrap.
Yeah, if you're like, okay, gee, I wonder, and it's kind of boring, they're talking about, you know, blah, blah, blah. You need to hear the last hour.
We have some stuff going on here.
Because this is going to be amazing. This is an awesome special guest.
Definitely. Let's take a break.
Take a break.
We'll be right back after this. Thank you for listening.
My name is Sean Burke, Indiana Ghost Tracker, www.indianaghost.org, and you're listening.
Listen to W Paranormal Talk Radio, Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Pioneer Radio Network. For show information, visit WParanormal.com.
Let's scratch at the door. Hear the Hi, I'm Carrie at www.missourighost.net. You are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Yeah, I remember her saying, I'm already dead. 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 I'm already dead.
Look, me, I don't reach to stand. I'm going to hold your hands in some stupid symbol.
I'm already dead.
You're going to get up and scream.
I'm already dead. I'm already dead.
You're going to get up and burn an X in your head.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm John.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And we're, of course, broadcast live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Pioneer Radio Network. That's pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O.net.
Yeah.
Our own website is www.ghostlytalk.com. When we're broadcasting, we have people in the chat rooms, so you might want to head on over to the chat rooms. I guess you can get in from pioneer.rolo.net or from www.ghostlytalk.com, but only if you have a thing, and I didn't put up a new version, so if it didn't work on your computer before, it won't
quit complaining.
Work now.
You quit know. Complaining. Yeah. I'm tired of hearing you complain.
Go to pioneer.rollo.net.
Go to computer school.
Other than that.
Figure it out yourself. Tired of helping all these people. Going home. We're done.
Wow. We didn't even make it a half hour before someone quit.
See,
that was awesome.
You were possessed by a demon earlier.
Right.
And it turned over on me now. I'm cranky now.
I see that. Yes. Good job.
Is there anything we want to cover before we introduce our first guest?
No, I think we can just go right ahead and bring him on. He's already on.
All right,
I
Will.
Heard him chuckling in the background.
I can hear
so.
Him too. Well, Will, cue the applause. That wasn't
that was someone else. That was an EVP.
Tim, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
It's been an interesting weekend for everybody, I think.
I think you're right.
I think between you and myself, we spent a lot of time on the phone this weekend.
Yeah, we sure did.
And
George was unfortunately unable to make an appearance this week. He called me over the weekend, and he's seen the movie, and I think that he's probably just very overwhelmed right now at this moment.
Oh, yeah.
And he has just been inundated with requests and interviews and appearance requests and things like that.
Yeah.
And so I think that Mr. Lutz has probably just taken some time to reorganize a little bit, you know?
Have you seen the movie?
Yes, I did.
Do you think Mr. Lutz may be at the bar?
Well, I know that this weekend he invited some friends to come down and spend some time with him at the house, and he's been spending time with family
and
stuff like that. And it's just a pretty stressful time for him right now.
I would be very stressed out as well.
Yeah, as I'm sure you can imagine.
Oh, yeah. I saw the movie today. Doug went and saw it yesterday in Cincinnati when he was out of town.
Right.
I mean, Tim, why don't you throw at us what you think? If we, I mean, we, I know there's a certain line we don't want to cross tonight, and we're not going to do that. But if you care to share, we kind of talked the first segment about what we thought, and I'm really interested to hear what you think too.
Well, sure. I went and saw the movie. You know, for some time I've been researching the Amityville haunting and the incidents that occurred up there. And when I went to this movie, I went there with the thought in my head that, well, probably like a lot of people have done, that get out on the internet and have been reading the various articles and things about it, that this was probably going to be a much more accurate version of the events that happened.
Tim,
there have been statements made that,
Tim, they said it was going to be more accurate.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of the statements that were said were saying that they were sticking much closer to the book. I heard a statement that they had gotten a hold of Kathy Lutz's personal diaries, which is probably inaccurate. And so I was really looking forward to probably a good movie about the Amityville Horror. And probably what I should say is that if you go and see this movie, you're going to see a good horror movie, but it's not about anybody that I know.
And that's exactly what we said. That was our whole point of what we talked about the last segment, was just that. Is that, I mean, I agree with Doug on this, because he asked me if I saw it yesterday, and just one roadblock after another prevented me from getting to the theater until this afternoon. Finally got in there, watched the film. It was a well-done film. The acting was good, the camera angles, all these, you know, all the artistic things that have to do with movie making, I thought was done very well. But based on the education that we have with George Lutz, as yourself, too, and what this movie portrayed, what this movie presented to us, it's like night and day. There's a total big difference here. And that's why we walked away, and we've talked about it pretty thoroughly so far. Our opinion on this, and we think, you know, well, congratulations, MGM. You put some more propaganda out for us to have to deal with now. What do we do about this?
They started the movie out saying based on a true story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie was not based on. It was loosely based
on the movie
on.
And tried to find similarities between the actual haunting and what was portrayed in the movie. And really, the only things that I can find off the top of my head were that they moved into a house. There were slayings that had occurred before they had moved in. They had a phone.
Wow.
And they left after 28 days, pretty much.
Do you think George tore the phone off the wall? Did he ever say he tore the phone off the wall?
Not that I know of. George and Kathy Lutz, it's been my opinion, and I've been researching this for years now, and I'm friends with George. I webmaster his website at AmityvilleHorror.com, and have spent a lot of time researching this thing, because for 30 years, like you probably well know, it was the general opinion of the public that this thing was probably a hoax. They did it for money. All types of various reasons why this thing should be a hoax.
For 20 years, there's been all this controversy, or however many years, you know, it was a controversy. People say this was a hoax, this wasn't a hoax, and someone will come out and say, well, so-and-so said that they lied, and then so...
Right.
There's been fighting going on ever since the first movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a very passionate issue. People have a huge interest in the paranormal, you know, I think, and there seems to be a cycle in the United States where you get shows like Encounters and Unsolved Mysteries and Sightings, and they run for about 5 years or so, and then they kind of fade away. Then about another 5-10 years later, there's another resurgence of interest in the paranormal, and I think we're kind of in one of those now.
Yeah.
You know? And I've researched this thing extensively. When I first started, I wanted to talk with George and the members of the family. I also wanted to talk to people who thought that it was a hoax. I wanted to talk to people on the street who had heard about things, you know? And so I spent a lot of time checking this case out. And guys, I'm going to tell you that this is not only probably one of the most popular hauntings in history, it's also one of the most well-documented. It has, you know, when a guy goes with his wife and takes lie detector tests and they both pass them, hands down, that says a lot to me. When you see some of the photographic evidence that has been introduced into this, that says a lot, too. And I've tried to catch them, you know, in a mistake or a hoax for 5 years now, and I can't do it. So,
right.
To me, I think that this is probably one of the best documented hauntings. I can also tell you from webmastering the website that we have just been slammed since this movie came out with requests and regarding questions about the haunting. I get questions like, did George Lutz really kill his dog? things like that.
Oh, no, that was the spoiler
well,
we were going to talk about.
Here's a question I have, Tim. Here's my question.
In the first movie, the dog helped save him from the portal to hell.
Yeah,
true.
In the red room or whatever
right.
it was. In this movie, he kills the dog out in the boathouse. Okay, so
but
what does it say in the book, Tim?
The real meat of that, though, this is what I want to know, Tim. This is really this is very important. Okay, when he killed the dog with the axe in the boathouse, did he go
that's
what he did.
The research that I've been able to do, there was a dog. He was a black lab. His name is Harry. Mm-hmm. Okay, on moving day, the day that the Lutzes moved into the house,
mm-hmm.
one of the things that happened, Harry was put on a dog run out behind the house by the boathouse there,
yeah.
and at one point he had jumped the fence. Trying to leave the property for whatever reason, and actually,
but Harry never tries to run away.
Well, he did in this instance, and they had to run over and you know.
No. In case
Tim,
no, Tim, I know what you're getting at.
In this remake of the movie,
uh-huh.
But Harry never tries to run away.
Well, Doug has a mind like a steel trap, obviously.
Fortunately, I can report to you that he lived a long, happy life. He moved with the family, and eventually I think he passed away in around 1981
mm-hmm.
or so.
Okay. So he was never axed by...
No, George didn't kill the dog.
Thank heaven.
I just want to make sure he didn't scream like that. Cause the acting was very well done, but I think that was one of the parts they could have recut. Because it was not a very convincing scream. Like, you know, if I'm going to put an axe in something living, I'm going to make sure I do it with some authority.
Okay.
Right? This guy was like just...
Is Kathy's hair, like, twisted into a French braid now permanently?
No.
Oh.
Unfortunately, Kathy did pass away just before the making of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, no, I don't mean
that.
I mean...
That has... Mm-hmm. something to do with this and George deciding not to make a few appearances for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just watched a pretty traumatic movie, and I'm sure that there were times in that that he felt embarrassed, that he probably felt very angry at times, and so he's probably just kind of taking a step back from this for a while. You know, the family
I think...
28 years didn't say a word about this. It was declared a hoax, and they kind of stepped out of the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the last few years, it seems like the Lutz family is again willing to take a step forward and to talk about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when people look for information, they see these types of movies and things, and I think we can understand now why some people thought it that maybe it was a hoax. You look at this movie and say, well, that couldn't have ever happened, but they say it's a true story.
Right.
Well, I hope our message gets through to some people, because we say it every single week, you know, concerning anything when it comes to hauntings or, you know, cryptozoology or anything like that, you don't go to a film at the movie theater for information.
Right.
You don't do that.
You can't. You got to think for yourself.
You go out and do some more research. It isn't going to be handed to you.
But what I meant there, Tim, was that in the movie, her hair got
wound up in the boat motor.
Completely redone
scene,
by the boat motor. And I'm
sure that if you're George Lutz sitting in a theater watching that's got to be a pretty hard scene to
or
follow.
The children. I mean, the children are adults now, right? But, I mean, still, to watch this, I mean, these characters carried the names of their family members.
Yeah.
True.
Oh, well, here's another question for you, Tim.
Well, they did change the children's names in this particular movie, but they did use George and Kathy's names.
Yeah,
well, right. Yeah, I'm sorry, that's true. But, I mean, but if you look at, and that's your mom and dad, right?
Uh-huh.
And you're like, wow, look at what mom and dad are doing. They're one is like, you know, building coffins and grinding the air. And
I saw that and about came out of my seat. He actually built these really nice coffins.
They're gorgeous.
They're beautiful.
The
nice cross.
Names
and
everything.
Cross.
Yeah.
Another thing he did, too.
If you were possessed by a demon, would you put a cross on a coffin that you were building?
If I was possessed by a demon.
You know, when it comes to this film, I think that it's going to spark a huge interest. The website right now is in one of the top positions of internet sites on the planet right now as far as it hits and things like that, and this is going to spark a lot of new interest in this, and for people who take the time to research this, I think that they're going to find a lot of inaccuracies regarding the movie, and they're going to get out there and they're going to get this real information, and that's what we're trying to work on now, to provide them a place where they can go and they can see the actual documents and things, and they can talk with Mr. Lutz and ask him questions, which we place in the fact section of the website.
And that's really important, Tim. That's really important, because this is an opportunity right here. You guys, there is a lot of exposure to this thing right now. And what you guys are doing is going, okay, yeah, come to the website. Yeah, Amityville. You type that into Google, you'll come to our website. And you guys are trying to facilitate the accurate information for this. I think that's so important. And that's what needs to be
done. Today also, you know, a lot of the key players that were involved in this originally, Ed and Lorraine Warren, Hans Holzer, You have people like George and Kathy, and your next guest coming up in just a few moments. They were some of the key players that were involved in this, and they're still out there and available to talk about this kind of stuff. So it's important for me. The thing that I've always wanted to do with this is just get the information out there and let people see what rings true for them. In my case, I'm convinced that it seems that a paranormal event did happen at the house. And so for me, it's just putting the information out there, letting people view it, and see what rings true for them.
That's exactly what we do here. It's exactly the same thing we do here.
Well,
you guys have a great show. I've always been a fan of it for, you know, since its inception. And you guys are doing a lot, believe it, more than you know, to help people who suffer from these types of things. You know, this is a pretty serious event in somebody's life, and you guys are doing a lot to help people feel that maybe they're not so alone in these types of encounters.
They're not.
And helping to spread the word, and that's good stuff.
They're not, you know, and that's...
And we got to talk about that with George the last time he was on, as I asked him right out, you know, if what had happened to you then happened now, it would be quite a different story, and we talked about that for a while, and it would have been, because there is help now. Back then, it was very difficult. I mean, there was Mary, there was Ed and Lorraine, and Hans Holzer. And, I mean, there was a few luminaries, and they are luminaries in this field.
Yeah.
But there were few.
Few, very few.
Now there's whole conventions. So thank heavens that it's getting out there, and the paranormal stuff is becoming a lot more normal.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. When it comes to paranormal phenomena, there's a lot of groups out there, like you say, that are plastering all kinds of pictures up on the Internet as evidence of paranormal phenomena. I think that if I could say anything about it, it would probably be that these types of events, when they happen, they're very rare, okay? Once in a lifetime, a person may be able to experience a ghost sighting, for instance. I don't know if you guys have ever seen one.
One time.
You're probably out every week doing research and stuff. So this is a rare thing when it comes along.
I've never seen one. I saw one ghost once, and Scott L. has never seen one yet.
Never seen one.
Heard one, but never saw one.
Heard a couple.
Yeah.
Heard a couple. But I can't even verify that either.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
I've never seen... I mean, a ghost has never walked up to me and said, I am a demon. I am going to take over your soul.
When that encounter does happen to people, then it has a pretty profound impact on their lives. And
absolutely.
George has spent... He's taken much effort and much of his time to try to set the story straight in the last few years and to come forward and talk about what happens. And he'll be the first one to say, you know, the book isn't 100% factual. The movies are really not factual. This is what happened to me. Mm-hmm. And that goes a long way in helping other people who are having these types of experiences so that, yeah, well, this happened to him too, you know, and maybe I'm not so crazy after all.
Tim, we have negative 1 minute left. We ran over our segment, but I want to tell you something. There are people, even in our very own chat room, wondering where the money went.
Where
because now
that money went.
Suddenly you're talking about $25 million in receipts. And I believe there are people who think that George Lutz and other folks portrayed in this movie are getting it.
No, that's really not the case. I have talked with George about this in the past, and I know that in the first movies and that, there were some gratuity or some money exchange involved,
there
probably in the area of $300,000 to $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, in the past 30 years, the poor man has been involved in just all kinds of lawsuits and problems with this, and I'm sure that he spent much more than that just trying to defend his family name and to be able to tell his story. And that's what I don't get. Here's a man who went through something for 28 days. His entire family was in fear of their lives, and he's not really even able to tell his story accurately.
And then for
so that says something.
But I think the key thing is, for this particular remake, MGM called him a couple times and then did not return his calls. So there was no contract for this movie. There was no contact between MGM and him about the movie. I mean, there was They have some scheduling issues.
I am aware of the fact that he is currently in litigation with MGM.
Right.
And it's something that he's having to go through right now. And,
yeah.
and more than that, it's not really any of my business. That's something
right,
that
yeah.
he's
but
dealing
I,
with.
I just want people to know that he's not in the Bahamas with these $25 million. He's going through... torture
right now,
right now because
well,
of this movie.
I can tell you that he's not in the bar drinking. The man doesn't drink.
Neither do
sitting back at this point.
Neither do I, but I might have started if someone made a movie like that about me. I mean,
to be honest with you, I can't speak for Mr. George Lutz, but
right.
my personal opinion is that he's probably just stepping back for a couple of weeks here
and
taking a deep breath and, you know, just relax.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
I'm sure that has been traumatic for
him. I don't blame him because it's going to be another long, long process to get away from this movie.
Oh, yeah. And we can cap it with this because, Tim, we discussed this the other night. Me and Tim, I love talking to Tim. He's like the coolest guy in the whole world, and he's done a lot for our show. He's been,
I
he's,
hate him
he,
to say that.
No, Tim's helped us out in numerous
ways. Oh, definitely.
Tim's been here for a very long time. He's been one of those people that have been here since day one, basically. And it's always a pleasure to talk to Tim. You know, we don't get to talk as much as we'd like to, but when we get into a conversation, it turns into about 2 or 3 hours.
That's the thing.
One of the things we discussed the other night was, you know, concerning this case, and it is something I'm like, you know, the hoax this, somebody saying it, one person says it's a hoax, one person says it's the real deal, another person says it's a hoax. And then we have George here saying, look, this is what happened. He's been keeping to his word the whole time. And there's still people saying that it's a hoax. And the bottom line of that, is, and this is from our experience, and I know you can agree with this too, Tim, is that you get caught in a situation like this, and no matter what you do, you could literally get on top of the tallest mountain on the planet with a gigantic PA system and big planes flying over you with fireworks saying, here's my story, okay? This is coming from my mouth. I'm the person that lived it. And there would still be someone out there that would try to detract that. They would still try to do that. No matter what you do, in my opinion, the Amityville Horror will be a debate to the end of existence, because it's just one of those things that there's always going to be two sides to this as far as the opinion goes on what happened with this.
Well, true. I mean, there's no smoking gun. There's no concrete evidence that will declare that this is a hoax. What you have to do is look at the evidence, build it up, consider all things, the fact that they took lie detector tests, the fact that there's photographic anomalies that have been found, just all kinds of various factors, and you have to weigh for yourself and see what's true in your heart as to whether this happened or not.
Yeah.
And in just a few minutes here, because I know we got to go, you're going to be speaking with probably one of the most intimate members that was involved in the investigation.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really fascinating, and I'll be listening in.
Great. Tim, thanks a lot for coming on the show, man.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Tim.
Always a pleasure, guys.
It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Excellent. Yeah. Thanks, Tim. We'll catch up with you next time.
Yeah, next time.
All right.
Excellent.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks a lot.
Take it
easy.
We'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
Man, there's a lot going on here with this.
There is?
There's just a lot going on here with this. I mean, let's just go to break. I'm starting to melt down here.
All right.
I haven't done a full show in a long time.
We're going to get... I know.
I'm going to be here till 9 o'clock tonight.
I know. We're going to get Mary Downey.
Yeah, Mary
Downey. Mary Downey, one of the original investigators on the horn.
Yeah, after we choked on a cigarette, I think, downstairs.
Yeah. and we will we'll bring her on, see what she has to say about the Amityville Horror and the remake. And has she seen it? Has she heard about it? We'll find out.
A lot of questions.
After the...